rear yard setback to the first floor, they're, it's 0 feet or 6 feet is the requirement. Rear yard setback to the rear deck side yard setbacks on the left side, 8 feet's required, and they're at 4.2 feet. On the right side, same thing, 8 feet's required, they're at 4.1 feet. Rear decks are not allowed above the first level, but obviously they're on the water, so they're proposing them at the second and third levels also. The third floor deck in the front is outside the building envelope. That's the front third floor deck, correct?
The back one.
The rear, okay. So that's outside the building envelope, so that's a variance. The pool setback, 6 feet's required, they're at 4.8 feet. And the accessory pergola, the area's fine. The setback to the pergola is 0 feet where 3 feet's required, and the height of the pergola is 21 feet. And as Roger said, it's 12 feet's permitted, but it's open on the sides and has the louvered roof, so it doesn't increase coverage. As far as the conditions, the roof runoff will be directed into the bay through the bulkhead. They'll clarify per Mr. McLaren's comments of Roger and the floodplain manager, the flood zone classifications. They'll do the governor strip with the required street trees per Roger's, per the required species, and they can verify with Roger that. And they've agreed to do the fire suppression system. Irrigation also. Okay. Governor strip will be irrigated, and then subject to outside approvals, they've noted that they'll need DEP approval. They're working through that. Anything else in Mr. McLaren's report, unless otherwise addressed, and the applicant will comply with any representations it made during the course of the hearing, just the standard other conditions. And we'll need a motion, a second, and a roll call vote.
We have a motion, please, and a second.
I make the motion.
Second.
Okay, have a roll call vote. One sec, just before we start vote, and I just want to make sure I just see some conversation.
My conversation is to the fire. Is the sprinkler system a requirement by the state of New Jersey?
Not yet, but it will be. But again, I represent the fire department here. If there's a fire there, it's just a tough firefight. We're having all new construction. They are putting in residential sprinklers. So we're requesting that. If it's going to be a no, then I'm a no vote.
Yeah. Better put it in now
than
later. Cost you more later.
Okay, retro.
We're good with the condition.
Okay. All right. So okay.
We have a motion and a second. We'll have a roll call vote.
Mayor Kriebel.
I support the application. There's a number of things that obviously a lot of variances that are all triggered by what I would consider the local North Harvard Avenue effect of the conditions here. The 80 foot versus the requirement, the disconnect between the restrictions at the 80 foot depth is on the books, and the boots on the ground 64 feet that exists. So a lot of these are triggered by that, but I think are ameliorated by the fact that they are using the similarities in the neighborhood and adjacent homes to create a similar bulk and area effect in this property. So things like the rear decks and a lot of the other variances have already been described, I think are outweighed by the positives, like the four-car driveway, the bringing in a non-compliant home into compliance, reducing the side decks so that they are not touching. A lot of the homes over time, the homeowners creep into their neighbors' side yards, the roof runoff being a part of that flooding. That is one of the lower streets in Ventnor. So the non-compliance, that is a low street that is very susceptible to nuisance flooding. So it's a place. So bringing that home up and above the flood compliance is a positive for the homeowners and the city. And of course, the adding of sprinklers for new construction is well thought of. But the aesthetics as well. I think that this is a home that would look right at home in Avalon or Stone Harbor, and we're, I think we'd be proud to have it on Ventnor Street. I vote yes.
Joanne Mazzelli?
I also vote yes. I think it's consistent with the other houses in the neighborhood. They will be an asset to the neighborhood. I vote yes.
Jay Cook?
I vote yes. Waterfront properties, particularly those who front on the West Canal, AKA the mile stretch, they have no neighbors across the back except for the wildlife, and it's wetlands across the way. Putting undue restrictions on these properties for the rear decks and ruining the resort nature of the property and the living style would be, I think, a disservice to the residents and the community itself. That's how the streets develop. The bulkhead line runs between 49 feet and over almost 80 feet or 75 feet along that whole street. It's very irregular. So consequently, you're doing the best you can. You have your capital approvals, your state approvals, which the city does not regulate in there. You've got open space between the two. You've got good parking in there. You're observing the best rules of trying to be good neighbors and develop a decent property for the street. So I wish you the best of luck. And you are attempting to meet the zoning ordinances. I think you're improving the site from what's already there. Consequently, the city benefits, the citizens benefit, and you benefit as owners, and you're putting in a better ratable to the city, helping the tax base, but you're also maintaining its replacing obsolescence and maintaining some fiscal input and development for the future into the tax base. So with that, it's a good approval.
Lorraine Salata?
I like this application. I believe the relief that they're asking for, a lot of that is generated by the size of the lot. We've seen that all up and down Harvard Avenue. And I think the pros outweigh the cons on this one. So I like the idea. It's a pretty dated property. So you're bringing some new, more current appeal there. So I vote in favor.
Dan Smith III?
I vote in favor of the application. I like everything about it and the way you work with the city and the state. Beautiful design, lots of storage, plenty of parking, and you got everything you want out back.
Peter Taco?
I also vote in favor of the application. The variance is triggered by the lot itself. It's evident all up and down Harvard Avenue and, quite frankly, most of the waterfront lots in Ventnor. I think we did a good job with it. We will get new housing stock and get rid of an old house. I think it's a great plan, and I'm looking forward to seeing that.
Tim Coop?
I also vote in favor. This is a challenging lot, and the variances are all driven by that. It's consistent with the street, and we're going to gain a flood compliant and house with a sprinkler system, which is all assets to the city.
Wendy Bartlett?
I also vote in favor of the application. You know, when you first see new construction with 10 variances, you take pause, but Six of them related to the rear deck, no neighbors at the back, no receiving water, and two of the pergola, which is a great advantage. So it's a beautiful building, and I vote in favor. Thank you.
Yes.
Did I'm your approved, but did
you approve?
Did Greer need Greer Castle?
I'm sorry, Greer. Did you go to Castle?
Yes, okay.
I don't have camouflage over.
Your
guest will have to vote yes.
My turn.
Your turn.
I vote yes. I'm familiar with Harvard Avenue. The variances are justified. There's only so much you can do with it. I think people are like, I got it. You know, and the house been pretty well better.
Thank you very much.
Congratulations, good luck with your new home. And welcome to the community.
Thank you.
We're going to take a 5-minute break, and then we'll be back for the last application. We are back in session. The next application is that of 106 North Dorset Avenue. Brian Callahan is representing.
Evening again, Brian Callahan for Gary and Susan Develin, Christine Rishenko, 106 North Dorset Avenue. Just for the record, all jurisdictional requirements have been met. Mr. Cook, let me have the three people sworn in, Mr. Barnhart, Mr. Dothay, Mr. Develin, if the board has questions, you can answer.
Okay, you guys can go down the line, give us your name and address or business address, I'll swear the three in together.
Gary Develin, 6116 Calvert Avenue, Ventnor. Craig Dothay, architect planner, 33 North Brighton, Atlantic City.
John Barnhart, 400 North Dover Avenue, Atlantic City.
Okay, and if you can each please raise your right hand, each swear affirm the testimony you'll give this evening will be the truth.
I do, sir, will.
All right, thank you.
Let the record reflect that these credentials, Mr. Barnhart, Mr. Dothay, are acceptable and have appeared before the board prior.
Mr. Cook, we're going to start with Mr. Dothay. Craig, why don't you walk him through your exhibit? And Leo, we have a colored rendering, and I passed out smaller 8x10, so let's mark that as an A1.
Sure. I got an extra one. Does anyone need it?
A1 colored rendering.
Craig, you prepared the architectural plan for this?
I did.
You want to walk the board through what's existing and what we're proposing?
Okay. This is the size of the property right here, and the Dorset is right on the left side of it, and it's facing Dorset Avenue. There's a strip of parking here where there's about 50 tables in there, and we're put in there after COVID, you know, to be able to eat outside. And there's a strip of parking on this side, and this is the vehicle access lane. And then the cars park up here next to the side setback.
What are we proposing?
What we're proposing to do is, of course, keep the Dorset the way it is, but expand its presence along Dorset Avenue. We're going to keep the curb location where it is, and we're going to take the tables, the picnic tables out of here, and have some on-street presence across here with four tables of four people each. Then we're going to locate our parking for the Dorset alongside adjacent to the Dorset, put a nice comfortable walking area here with concrete, you know, with a curb and everything, come across, and then guests will come in this way. The first parking space will be handicapped and accessible, of course, and there'll be seven cars across this side. The trash will be in the back seat side of a fenced in area with gates across here so that it obscures the view of it. On the other side,
talk about the trash for one second. That's a private hauler?
Yes.
So the private hauler makes arrangements with the Dorset, pick up their trash wintertime, and during the summertime is usually picked up twice a week, wheeled out and dumped?
Yeah, my understanding is wintertime once a week, summertime twice a week.
Fine. Go ahead. Sorry to interrupt.
Okay, so these circles right here are the columns that are going to support the new structure that sits over top of the drive lane and over top of parking on the right side. Parking on the right side, the first six spots across here will be used for the actual townhouses themselves, and the last spot over here will be used for the Dorset. Now, across here in this area, we're located right immediately in front of the fire department, and along the side is going to be two storage areas and a meter area right here for the gas meters that I'll come back in. There's a stair on the right side over the townhouse, on the right side. There's a stair on the left side for the left side of the townhouse. We're putting landscape beds across here. We would like to put a raised planter there so that we can, you know, keep the vegetation out of harm's way when we get high water. And raised planter right across the front in front of this stair. And across here to in front of this stair is a really nice extension of the facade of the Dorset, so we expand the presence of the Dorset onto the road.
Can you go back and show them the rendering so they can see how we, and this expansion of the Dorset along the road was based on preliminary discussions with the board to show if they wanted to maintain that commercial, you know, presence along Dorset Avenue?
Yes, that was one of the key points to help us to try to increase the commercial aspect of Dorset Avenue. And so it would be really nice to preserve the commercial aspect. Right here, from that paper across here, is the existing Dorset, but, you know, some facade modifications that would include lighting, large windows across here, columns out here to support a roof, and then the table seating out there, and parapet sticking up a little more, so that, you know, that allows us to sign and that type of thing. There's an opening here, which is that walkway that was immediately in front of the car, you know, that part behind this wall right here. Right behind this wall is the stair that goes up to this side over here, so it's not like you're going to be looking at the building and seeing, you know, a lot of stairs and that type of thing. You actually see, you know, people sitting there and signage and that type of thing. So it's sitting for the doors of itself. Then there's another opening right here where the car comes in out, and there's vegetation right in this area and all across the middle over here. This is the other stair to the right side. And it comes up and it switches back, so the actual wall of it doesn't go up that high. And then they have a front patio porch here, and they have a separate patio porch over here. And it really works out nice is the materials that come across here at the first level. Here so that
you can
provide like that architectural base and be like a darker color. We haven't picked out the colors.
Greg, pardon me one second. Could you take that photograph? The two ladies are trying to see it. Either they can come up, move your easel over, you can come up forward and you can look at what he's doing.
So the two houses on either side here and here, they're matching mirror images of them. So, and in the corner, what we did was a series of patios, you know, with very nice railings, you know, to leave it as open as possible. We put wraparound doors and windows, and the fact that it sits back in will mean that when you go by and look at it three dimensions, you can see the cantilever sticking out, and you'll see those little corners, which are like they would be very exciting architecture.
I don't have any other questions of Mr. Dothe. I will go up to the board. Go ahead, Mr. Cook.
Could you go over the parking scheme?
I was going to have Mr. Barnhart do that.
Okay.
I do have a question about the trash. The trash is going to be in the back in the dumpsters.
We have the commercial trash will be in the back, pretty close to where it is right now.
Right.
The residential trash will be in two enclosed areas under the stairs with the door, so they'll be in their normal place with the wheels.
So the commercial trash will be in what?
In the back.
I know that.
In what? Contained in what?
Oh, well, the dumpster with the wheels.
So how are you going to get a truck back there?
We're not, the private haul will have to wheel it out to his trash truck, dump it, and wheel it back.
So you're saying that the townhouses will not use city trash pickup?
No, the townhouses use city trash. The Dorset uses private hauler.
Right.
Yeah.
And they have separate trash areas.
That's a very awkward way of doing this. You might want to look at that, because that's going to be a problem for you. And getting into the site and with cars, with parking and everything else. And
well, usually the trash guys are there very early in the morning to do it on the private hauler. We thought about moving it to the front, but the problem is moving to the front, we have our handicap parking right there.
Okay, well,
I don't think it can depend on the time for all of them.
Well, before you get to John Barnhart, is how many parking places are reserved for the restaurant and how many parking places are for the condo? Because we can do that.
Yeah, right now there's 14 spots. Roger's report asked for us, we had originally asked for 9 to go to Dorset and 5 to go to the townhouses. Roger asked whether we could make 6 for the townhouse, 8 for the Dorset. So depending on which way the board wants to go, we can do either way.
How many does the Dorset have now?
14.
11.
Okay.
So residents that are in townhouses, will they be able to utilize some of the restaurant's parking places?
No.
Definite no?
That's why we're giving them either
Like in the summer, you know, they have 4 bedrooms. Yep. People have company, right. Have extra cars. Parking is pretty bad on that street.
Yeah, it is.
So, you know, the likelihood of them pulling into the restaurant spaces is pretty good.
Then they're pretty good that they're going to get towed out because, I mean, we're trying to maintain the commercial approach to it. And that's why I think what Roger said, let's give them the 3 spaces so that rather than having 2 spaces with 1 visitor, each person would now have 3.
What does it stop the customers from parking in the residence?
Well, once again, we're going to have little signages that says parking for residential only.
This after receiving is encroaching in this right?
Yes, yeah. I mean, our building right now is on the property. So even the overhang that we have over the building right now technically needs a revocable license from the city and will need a revocable license from the county. Because we're on county property.
Isn't outdoor seating kind of at the discretion of the city?
It is a discretion.
Whether we allow it or not allow it.
It is, yes, it is.
But you're...
Well, we're showing it. We're showing it to try to show that that's where, you know, the impetus from our initial meeting with the city was make it commercial friendly. So that's what we're trying to do. Now, we also have the problem, you know, is the county going to buy into it?
Right.
And one of the reasons also that we were asking, you know, we have a governor strip there. John Barnhart has indicated he doesn't think the county's going to buy into that. So the street trees is probably the better alternative versus a governor strip because it doesn't look like the county wants a governor strip anywhere along Dorset Avenue. So it looks like, you know, the governor strip goes, we're putting its street trees in. So on the
record, he's going to have to approve the traffic going in and out of the lot as well.
Same as they do now. Yeah.
Right.
And that's why we left also, you know, right now we have a bike out there for the Dorset. Well, that was never approved by the county either. So now when we're back to the county, we have to get them to buy into that because we're on a county road. So there's things that we have to do that we're showing to make it commercial friendly that we hope that the city, that you guys like, that we then have to go to the county and try to make sure that they like the same thing.
Well, there's another whole problem in this area here that's flooding. And obviously the Dorset restaurant is existing and it's going to drive you some of your grades in there. Now the question is how can you work with your grades on your site to get more of out of harm's way? It's a conundrum is what it is. But there's a problem there. And how are you, that's got to be addressed somehow. And the problem is, if you keep the Dorset's too low, and that drives grades. But if you may have to look at what you do with the Dorset to change your grades for the future, because the future's in higher grades.
I'll have Mr. Barnhart talk about that when we get to him. Tell me when you're ready for Mr. Barnhart.
We're ready.
We're ready, okay. John, you want to walk him through the site, and I'm just going to start?
Sure.
Show, talk about the variances and relief that we're asking?
No.
Okay, so I know we're all very familiar with the property, but I'm just going to go through some
John, you're, get the mic up closer.
It's on.
Are you on?
Yeah, it's on.
Okay.
It's kind of awkward. Some of the existing conditions, I just want to describe the site. As I mentioned, I know you're all aware, or very familiar with it. But so the property lies in your city commercial zone. It has a frontage along Dorset Avenue of 100 feet, and it has a total depth of 80 feet. The Dorset restaurant is about a 1,700 square foot building that sits all the way to the south or the east on the property. There's the exterior seating area, and then there are 11 existing parking spaces on the site. The driveway is obviously centered on the drive that allows access to the parking area. The existing trash enclosure is up against that property line, kind of in the center of the lot right now. And the site is essentially 100% impervious. There's some open area, minor open area along the back property line, but the site's basically 100% impervious at this time. The proposal, as was identified by Mr. Dozzetti, is to maintain the Dorset restaurant area, and then to develop the site in a fashion that essentially gives an appearance of a single mixed-use building. If you look at the facade along Dorset Avenue and the rendering that Mr. Dozzetti's office developed, the goal is to create a look that is a mixed-use building, which we believe then becomes very consistent with this area. This is, as I mentioned, this is the city commercial district, but what's interesting about this district, and although we are asking for a use variance this evening, what's very interesting about this district is that everything that we propose as part of tonight's project is actually a permitted use in the zone. So what do I mean by that? Well, first of all, obviously the commercial space is permitted, it's a commercial zone. But additionally, in the city commercial district, single family homes are actually permitted. As are service parking lots, as stay-at-home lots are also permitted. So we're proposing some homes, we're proposing some commercial, we're proposing a parking lot. Each of those parts separately are permitted by right in the city commercial zone. Take it a step further, because I know there's probably some sensitivity here. We're putting some residential units in a commercial zone, you know, thinking is that appropriate use of this location? Because again, we are asking for use variance. This property is of adequate size to demolish everything that's on the property, to provide a two-lot minor subdivision, and to build two single-family detached rooms on this parcel. It would require a by-right minor subdivision approval from this board with no variances and construction of two homes. And it would meet your ordinance across the board. It would not require any variances whatsoever. Our client recognizes that that's not the appropriate thing to do here, so he's trying to develop a property or a project that creates that mixed-use scenario, that accomplishes the ability for him to construct some residential on the property, but also preserves that commercial and does it in a fashion that we believe does not have a negative impact to the neighborhood. So, what is physically proposed is a two-unit building which would sit up high, a central openness on the ground level to address any concern with regard to flood. The building will be completely elevated and exterior stairs to the units along Dorset Avenue. There will be a driveway that comes in off of Dorset Avenue that allows access to the surface parking area that is beneath the building. There are seven vehicular spaces that are against the building. We're proposing bollards along the edge of that building to protect it. That would be for the use of the Dorset, inclusive of the required handicap space for ADA compliance space for the commercial operation.
And then the opposite side of that driveway, which again, these parking spaces and the drive aisles are all appropriately sized based on your ordinance and standard practice, is 7 parking spaces on the opposite side of that driveway, which would be for, essentially for the residential. However, 2 of those spaces would go to the commercial unless the board would like us to designate 3 spaces per unit, as Mr. McLaren's report potentially recommended. Also, as part of the application is the construction of an audio-resistant cane shield area you can see here within the right-of-way of Dorset Avenue. Brian pointed out, Scott kind of pointed out, that that is going to require some approval from Lynn County. So we are attempting to get that approval as we have submitted it to allow for that potential curbside seating that you see throughout the community along in various locations along Ventnor Avenue, Lanning Avenue, and then also Dorset Avenue. All these site improvements will be newly constructed. The entire parking lot will be new. All of the curbs and sidewalks will be new. We do have a landscape area near the property to create some pervious area on the site, which as mentioned, very little area currently exists. Mr. Buffet is proposing to strike 2 planter beds out front of the property to create elevated planter, obviously for aesthetic purposes. The unit accesses will be for the unit that I'm going to call to the north or on the plan right. Unit access for unit 2, this is, would be the stairs right at that location. And then unit access for unit 1 are the stairs that come up and go onto the deck and then enter that unit. As far as the county goes, we will be constructing a new sidewalk for our entire frontage. By completing the construction, that's going to be necessary. The building footprint of the Dorset will not change in any way. And it will maintain all of its existing setbacks. So with all of this, I'll break apart the C variances and the use variances. There are only 2 C variances that we actually need for that. The first is related to the buffering along the rear of the property, which is really only required when you have a commercial use against the residential property. You're required to have an evergreen buffer. There's an existing condition of that building, which is 3.5 or roughly, it's 3.7 feet to be exact of space. It would not be appropriate to try to put plants back there. You need access around the back of the building. So that is a deviation from the ordinance that is required. And then the second C variance that we're asking for is parking. We believe a very, very minor request in that the existing site has 11 spaces for the commercial operation. We're proposing to take that 11 to 9 spaces designated for the commercial operation.
I just want to ask you a question.
Yes.
At this point about the parking. How many seats are currently in the restaurant?
Right now, today, I don't know that answer.
Because my question is the restaurant parking compliant now?
Seats in the restaurant?
36.
Okay, so
36
inside, not counting the outside.
There's more than that. It's actually the life hazard registered with the state, so at least 50.
And I think they're jammed in there right now.
It is what it is. They're jammed or not. There's at least 50 in there. 49, anything 49 or below, they don't have to register with the state. They're above 49. I think there's at least 60 seats in there.
Well, either way, the restaurant is currently not in compliance with parking, which is pretty normal, right?
Right.
So here they already have 11 spots. I'm going to take they're not in compliance, and we're going to take some of them away because they need it for the residential.
Right.
So you're reducing their parking.
By two spaces.
But they're already not in compliance. Okay, I just wanted clarity.
And you're taking the street parking away also?
No, we are not.
No, we're not taking.
We're not affecting the street parking at all. The existing driveway is there. It's this driveway that will remain. There is no reduction in street parking.
What's the width of the parking stalls?
They're not made.
The real driver here is still the restaurant, the elevations of the site in here. And the question becomes is, and if anybody even considered this, is what, you know, you always look for a what for or a what if. And, or if then, is if the restaurant was reconfigured on the site, would you have a better plan that is more workable and better for marketing and better for the entire business plan and what you're trying to accomplish than you have now? I don't know if anybody tried to do that, even looked at that. The other thing is okay, Dorset Avenue's got a problem. And the problem is elevation. The only way you're going to fix the elevation is raise the sites. So, hey, Greg, you've done it many times. We raised the building from the inside. So, at the worst case, in some cases, you have to raise the grade of the building from the inside. You have to put a new roof on. But, you know, the aspects are, is, has anybody considered all of these things in looking at the longevity of the site for the city?
As far as the height of the restaurant, right now the restaurant's about one step up.
I understand all that.
Okay, so what happens is if we go and start to, and you're right, we have elevated a lot of buildings. Most of them are residential. We don't elevate the commercial buildings because the ramps become ADA. So long that it doesn't allow.
There's ADA requirements. We don't have lot sizes. I understand that.
Allow for that to happen. We're having that problem in a lot of areas where it's like our windows now are starting at this level and up, you know, because of the flood. So now you don't have show windows in, say, a Mercantile. And then if we're going to be putting, this is one of the problems we have with our assemblies, like our restaurants. As soon as we start to get somewhere around, you literally can't get people up to.
But the issue becomes is the adjoining property. So one property drives in. One property drives a block, more or less, and sets grades. And my question is has anybody looked at this, what the grades should be on the property and how to best handle it?
Mr. Fella talked to the prior owner. They've only had water during Sandy. It's the only time they've had water. And I would say Mr. Kreischer probably would be able to tell us better. He's been eating breakfast in there with his crew for the last 20 years.
It's irrelevant.
It's not relevant. It's an existing thing that you have flood prevention. You use muscle walls like we did for the Santucci's. So you have flood prevention muscle walls that you put up for flood prevention.
I asked a simple question. Did anybody look at this site and this block on what the range should be and the design should be in relationship to the thing before you propose a project? That's all I asked.
Well, we've looked at the project from numerous points of view. That's why we came to the board in advance to talk about it, because our original proposal was three units leaving the Dorset as it was. The committee told us, hey, can you give us some type of commercial use along the front and reduce the number of units? We did, because we looked at the other thing, as Mr. Barnhart said. Okay, let's tear the whole damn thing down and just build two single-family houses. But we thought that was completely out of character with the commercial nature of that block.
We understand that. I just asked the simple question. Did anybody look at the grades on how to solve the problem in that particular block or that particular site? That's so all I asked.
Let me try and answer that. So, when you have sites this small, you know, this is a large site insofar as Dorset Avenue is concerned,
sure.
But it's not a large site.
when you have a site this small, you don't have a lot of option to create change. You're not changing county road elevation. We only have a lot that's 80 feet in depth. So even if we were to tear everything down and go with a brand new construction, you know, with, as far as the small, it goes back to what Mr. Buffet was talking about. The commercial structure would in all likelihood stay as low as possible because you can't meet the requirements with regard to ADA compliance. And when we look at this site, it's not, this specific site is not low as a lot of this community is. I mean, we've got post elevations that are essentially six along that property line. So it's, you know, we're not talking about Harvard Avenue where we're in the threes and fours in some locations. So there are areas of Dorset Avenue that do flood. Of course, we've all seen that, but.
That block floods all the time, John.
But Jay, this site is in the range of elevation six. I mean, it's not.
I understand all that. All I asked you to do is just comment on what is the solution. There is not a solution. That's all I asked.
So the answer is there is no solution to keep the site much higher than six right now, which we are elevating the site as we go to the rear so that it flows out toward the front. Yeah, that's all we can do. Our grades along the front, power front property line are 100% dictated by a county roadway that is not going to change in the foreseeable future. All we can do is create cross slopes that meet ADA standards and raise the grades as we go toward the back. That's all any project could do on this site, regardless of what they're building.
Is that true?
Yes.
Okay. And then.
Okay.
Yeah, that's fine.
You could swear. Go ahead.
So I get it. It's not going to be elevated to all the new construction that's out there. I get it.
Right.
I've been going to the place for 30 years. The cook that's in there now has been there for 23 years. Only during Sandy did they get water. Only during Sandy. There's other properties on the block. I see them putting sandbags. I asked them the other day, did we have to do it a couple weeks ago? He says, we should be fine. So, you know, it's not. You know, it's not a place that's getting hit. Again, I know it's not raised, but they have the better answers.
This is what I was asking, is what your plan was, what your resiliency was, how you fit in, and what you do, what you can do, what you can't do. That's all I asked. And now we're getting to the heart of the matter, so that everybody understands what's going on.
John, let's go back and deal with the use variance and talk about how we're specifically suited in this area, and then we'll talk about positive and negative criteria.
Sure. So, regarding the positive criteria, are there purposes of zoning that are advanced in this application within the municipal land use law? And I would argue that there absolutely are. As I stated already, all of the uses that we are proposing on this lot are permitted in the current zone. Residential is permitted, the restaurant is permitted, the parking is permitted. We're creating a mixed-use type of development that the ordinance does not contemplate. But the irony of that is, if you look at this area, Dorset Avenue, many of the buildings are mixed-use type buildings. I've counted five or six, one of them was a little hard to tell, but we've got five or six buildings from where the liquor store is, the florist is, the property in the corner right by the bridge, I forget the name of the little retail shop. There's a property directly across the street from this site that's under renovation. You've got the wine shop that has residential above it, with the coffee shop associated with it. Many of the buildings right in this immediate vicinity are mixed-use type of buildings, and many of the buildings actually don't have parking.
That's what I was just going to say.
We recognize that because we have parking here, that's not an appropriate direction to take, so we're trying to preserve the parking to the greatest extent easily. But for all those reasons, we believe that this site is particularly well suited for this proposal because it's in keeping with the surrounding projects, and it also preserves the commercial on the site, which, as I've already stated a couple times, is not a requirement based on the city zoning, city commercial standards. We believe there are other purposes of zoning that are also enhanced with the application, and that's the creation of a more desirable visual environment through creative design techniques. You saw Mr. Buffet's rendering. The Dorset right now is a block, painted block building. It does not have a lot of curb appeal. People love it. It's an icon vendor that's always been there for many, many years. But it doesn't have a lot of pizzazz to it or a lot of architectural appeal to it. What Mr. Buffet has done is he's dressing up the front of the building, and he's essentially creating a scenario along that pedestrian corridor or the sidewalk of Dorset Avenue of a singular building with access which, as I mentioned, turns it into the appearance of a mixed-use building. So we believe that that purpose of zoning is advanced. We also believe that the purpose of zoning, which discusses establishment of an appropriate population density, is advanced with the application. This site, as I said, has 8,000 square feet in total land area. Your land use ordinance requires, I believe, 3,000 square feet for a single-family home. So it's, this site is 2.5 times the size that would be required from a land area perspective. So proposing two units on this property together with the conversion, we believe, is absolutely an appropriate density for this property. And it's very much consistent with many of the properties around it. Because many properties that have one or two units on them now of their commercial are much smaller properties than this. So we believe there are a number of purposes only in the municipal land use law that justify this use variance. With regard to the negative criteria, is there a substantial detriment to the zoning ordinance? I know I've said it 2 or 3 times now, but I think it really goes to the heart of this application. Everything we propose on this project is permitted in the city commercial zone. So there really is no way to look at this and say there's a substantial negative impact to the zone plan, because your zone plan, the city commercial district, permits everything we propose. It just doesn't necessarily permit it all to be on a singular lot. And the development of this area is exactly what is proposed here, mixed-use type of development on a singular lot. So we fit within our community, and we fit within all the permitted uses in that zone. So I can't possibly understand how you can say that there is a substantial detriment to the zoning plan. With regard to the substantial detriment to the zoning ordinance, we are asking for 2 variances. The variance with regard to the buffer, and the variance with regard to the number of parking spaces. And then the coverage is an existing non-conforming. To the extent that we have to get a technical variance, I do want to mention that as well. But we are actually needing to cover it better than the existing condition. But the variance is, and I understand the parking with that premium on Dorset Avenue, parking's at a premium throughout the entire area around. We understand that, but right now this site has 11 parking spaces. We're proposing to allow a commercial site to have 9 parking spaces. Our firm, as you know, have done many, many commercial projects in this community, along Better Avenue, along Lake Avenue, throughout the community. Many of those commercial projects have no parking. Many of the commercial projects or existing sites on Dorset Avenue have no parking. The idea of losing 2 parking spaces for the benefit of rejuvenating this property, we see that there is certainly no substantial detriment to that with regard to that C variance. So, from the zone plan, zoning ordinance perspective, is there an impact? Yeah, of course there is. We're asking for use variance and we're asking for some C variances, but in no way can we consider this as a substantial negative impact in the zone plan or zoning ordinance. With regard to the second prong of the negative criteria, and that is the substantial detriment to the public good, this is a native property that needs some rehabilitation in some fashion. We believe that our client has come up and together with his architect, and has come up with a very unique idea of preserving what's there, but enhancing it both aesthetically and adding beautiful residential to the property, which is consistent with our neighborhood. There's residential, strictly residential, immediately behind us. We are proposing in large part, again, albeit we are 2 parking spaces short, but in large part, we are complying with the parking. All the residential parking is accommodated for. Commercial parking is very closely accommodated for. We have a plan for trash. We kept the trash, as this was what they described, separate between the residential and the commercial. The commercial trash is in the rear, and it will require some management by the company that is hired, but it is doable, and because the access is, and I was describing a little further, the idea is 2-yard containers that are rolling containers, but they're able to be moved by an individual person. And they're able to be rolled right down the driveway by the hauler that comes and picks it up and takes them away. So it is manageable. Is it as simple as a giant trash enclosure? No, it's not. But frankly, with the residential in the back, that's legally against this property, a smaller trash enclosure is better managed, in my opinion, is a better plan than a large trash enclosure where a commercial facility can let it go a little bit too long because they have the space to store the trash. So we met all the specific site standards that could be a negative impact on some of the surrounding properties. And for all those reasons, we believe there is no substantial detriment to the public's good and honor.
Thank you. I don't have any other questions. Mr. Barnhart, I'll turn it over to the board.
I have some comments. One is, does the board want 6 residential parking spaces? I highly recommend it, and here's the reason why. The outdoor dining rule is now a ordinance. It's state law. They come in next year, and I would grant them, I would have to grant them, 75% of their parking spaces could be converted to outdoor dining. So if we can preserve one of those spaces as an additional residential parking space, it protects that parking space.
I don't understand what you just said. Can you say it again?
During COVID, the governor passed the emergency rule allowing outdoor dining to help the businesses, and it became so successful, they made that law permanent last year. So every town now has to adopt an ordinance, which Ventnor did. They have to apply for an outdoor dining permit, a zoning permit, signed by me, every year, and they have to get it, including the seats on Dorset Avenue. Mm-hmm. But they're allowed to occupy 75% of their parking spaces with tables and chairs for dedicated outdoor dining. So if they're proposing 9 spaces for the commercial, why not give one of those spaces to the residential and protect that space? And they can still, and also I was going to recommend maybe as a condition of approval, they can't seek outdoor dining for more than 50% of the spaces that are left.
And just to follow up on that, that's why Mr. Dothay in his original presentation showed you how all those parking spaces that had been existing had been removed during COVID for the outdoor dining, took that entire strip of area away.
Immediately adjacent to the doors.
So if you're asking us, are we willing to sacrifice that outdoor dining for the parking spaces, the answer is yes. Are we still asking the county to permit us to do the outdoor seating in front? The answer would be yes for that too. But we are willing to relinquish all of this outdoor dining that we can get approved, because once again, that eliminated, when we had 14 spaces there, it's 8 spaces down. So the Dorset for the last 5 years probably been operating with 5 or 6 parking spaces.
Right. But Roger's explanation is a perfect good example of what positive thinking is and what can be done with the site. So I endorse it myself. So I think it's a wise move for the board, but it's positive thinking. As preservation.
So the process for next year would be to apply for a zoning permit for outdoor dining. Joe and I would be looking at it, the police chief, as a condition of approval, the county would chime in, and you would have to give them name them as additional insured on a certificate of insurance, plus the city. And it's annual. It has to be renewed every year. Right. And it's good for 6 months. It's like that's statewide.
Right.
And since you already have outdoor dining, we could reduce the requirement for those spaces to say to 50%, and you can get a little more outdoor dining if you need it under the ordinance and still keep your parking.
Well,
I mean, that's
I agree, but I think what we're trying to do, how many parking spaces we have, we're assigning what, 8 to them right now if we take the 6?
But if 6 on the residential, it would be 8 for the commercial.
Right, if we went to 6 on the residential, which I think that's a great idea, we would have 8 assigned to the commercial.
Right.
And I don't want to commit to the fact that we wouldn't come back to Roger to ask for some reduction of that parking for outdoor dining if the county says absolutely 0 to anything in front of the building. So I'd like to be able to preserve us that we could take 1 or 2 spots to put some seating outdoor where it was now. If the county tells us absolutely not, you can't put any seats out there.
I don't think they will, as long as it's temporary.
Right.
But I agree with just in case.
Just in case, that's the only thing I'm worried about. So But other than that, yes, we would be willing to give up the outdoor seating where we have already taken the parking away, if the county gives us the outdoor seating in front.
I actually spoke to, you know, people I have in there right now running, and they asked me what we're going to do with the tables. I said, well, they're going to be gone. I said, the only thing on the side of the building. So that 40 spots, that 40 tables, that 40 seats, I mean, I get it, the parking's tight. Right now, it's holding whatever holds inside, not count the counter, I don't even know what it is. But I noticed there's 10 floor tops outside on the side of the building, which are already limited. I think we're only trying to keep two of them on the front of the building once we extend the building. So, you know, I already told them, might as well get rid of them, just save them, whatever, for like long breaks or whatever, but they're not going to be going back next year.
Well, the thinking is positive in how we're going about it. So we're making a move that's good for the site. That's the main thing. And good for the city, good for the site.
Good for Gary.
Are you going to sell the townhouses or rent them?
No, sell. Gary has been in town for a while. So, I mean, off the top of my head, we did the Sacramento Avenue project on the corner of Sacramento and Ventnor Avenue. He did the two houses down the street from Dan Smith or for Bruno, where we took the commercial at the ground level and eliminated those and built those two new single family houses on that corner of Atlantic Avenue, 6703 and 6709. We just finished two condominiums at 107 North New Haven Avenue, which were built and sold. So he's a Ventnor guy, lives in Ventnor, has done projects in Ventnor. So that's the object is, once again, build it, quality build, sell them.
Brian, in the with the townhouses are, with the landscaping, since there's some of the issues with flooding, what we've been doing in the area is asking them to raise the beds that the planters on.
Yep, that's what Mr. Dothay said. You would be raising your beds.
Correct.
Yep.
And put that and start about 2 feet higher.
Correct.
And then put the planting in that masonry, within a masonry wall, no timber or anything, so it doesn't float away.
Right.
And do it that way.
He did a similar project for the pet salon in Margate,
right,
where on the outside, and technically in the right of way, we put the wall in because that corner Margate got flooded, so he raised it up, put some planters in there.
Right, exactly, and then put your landscaping in there, and then because this is an important block in for the city for the future, and you're going to be a showpiece there. So Gary is, he builds quality stuff, and the things he can do here, like create. You're looking at almost a promenade that we need to create along this strip. Bring in more commercial. So, one good project begets another good project. So, that's all I'm saying is, so great, great finishes, great design, well thought out things, just help the whole city.
I'm back to Roger. Roger, any other questions? John?
No, I'm just thinking about this parking thing. I don't think the county is going to deny you on using the outdoor right of way. I don't think you should hamstring yourselves by saying, if we can use the right of way, we won't occupy any of those spaces. Now, the key number is 8 parking spaces that you're going to have now.
Right.
The ordinance says if you have less than 8, you can occupy all of them except the handicap space.
Right.
So keep it at 8 and occupy 6 of those if you have to by law or outdoor dining.
That's what we would do.
To me, that's my recommendation. It's fair for you. It meets the intent of the ordinance, meets the intent of the state law, and helps the business.
Right.
You can't say, no, you can't do it.
That's it for us, Mr. Cook.
Well, okay. I mean, is the planning idea is okay with you, then raising those beds?
Raising the beds is fine.
Okay.
And following Roger's recommendation with respect to the parking is fine.
Because I hate to see you lose all that good stuff in there because it stays alive and it does well. So that's the main thing.
Well, and as Mr. Barnhart said, when you take a look around both at Atlantic Avenue, Ventnor Avenue, and up and down Dorset Avenue, we're probably one of the only buildings, commercial with a restaurant, that has parking. You go down along Ventnor Avenue where there's Mega Sushi, Aroma, nothing. you go down to Santucci's, you go down to Sapor, nothing. You go down to Uncle Gino's across the street, nothing.
14 years old.
Red Room, the Red Room, nothing. So, I mean, it's very, we're one of the few in town that has parking available.
Great. You're very fortunate, and so it's good to go. So let's go to the opening of the public.
One more comment.
Okay.
Sorry. The raised plan for beds don't make them too high so you can't see the sidewalk.
Right.
People come along.
All right. Is anybody in the public portion is now open. Anybody wishes to make comment on this application? Please come forward and be sworn. Yes, ma'am.
You have to give us your name and address, please, and I'll swear you in.
Christine Pagano, 108 North Dorset Avenue.
108 North Dorset. I'm sorry, can you just state your last name again?
Pagano, P-A-G-A-N-O.
Okay, Ms. Pagano, please raise your right hand. You swear from the testimony you're about to give will be the truth?
I do.
Okay, thank you.
My question is, it looks like from the drawings that everything's connected. Is that correct? Doesn't it look like? Looks like he wants to put a panel that says the Dorset, and then the townhouses are here. I don't have a problem. I think it looks great, but it looks like it's connected. Am I wrong?
Looks like that.
You're right.
All right.
But,
Look. I don't know.
It looks like it, but it's
not. Well, part of the testimony was to make it look like it was one building.
Right. Sure.
But it's not.
This is the Dorset here.
As it is.
That's the walkway.
Got it.
That's still connected to the next, which is a false wall that obscures the stair, because that's not quite as pretty as it is.
It's going to go to here?
Yeah, the stair then goes right to here, so then that's the outside.
Right, so then you're promenade off doors.
Correct.
And you're going to park, and then you're going to live here, and you're going to park.
Correct.
Is that about right?
Yeah. The cars that occupy will be on this side and over here behind that wall.
Right, as it is now.
We'll be where the parking is.
Okay. I was confused. It was beautiful, quite beautiful.
It increases
the only thing I'm worried about is the pilings. I'm worried that my whole building is going to. But Brian explained it.
According to the building department and Carmel and Company, they'll make sure we have.
We monitor the installation.
We have a monitor out there.
Okay.
And a piling count.
I think it's beautiful. I really do. How far back does that building go? Like, cause how my building is, I'm back. You know, like Debbie lives next door, she's not as far back.
This is our site plan right here.
Right.
And this is a deck, which is 10 feet back from the building.
All right, so
the building goes
we're 23 to the deck, 32 feet to the building.
All right, so to the back, what's back here? To the property line. We're Derby, rather. Because me, I'm on a zero lot.
You're on a zero lot?
Yeah.
Correct.
You remember?
I remember.
And I've got like 3 feet behind me.
I know.
It's like weird. But I didn't, like when you're looking at the photo of it or the drawing of it, it looks like there's room back here.
Yes.
Okay. What are you going to do back there? It's just parking.
It's just parking. Yeah. And some landscaping back on this side.
Okay, cool. Yeah. How many bedrooms are these?
Four.
Beautiful.
Won't need the noise monitors.
After I hit Megan Miller, maybe I can make that. Okay. I'm all done, guys. I think it's lovely. I think it looks great.
Christine, thank you for coming by.
Thanks, Jen.
Thank you.
Jen? Come up and be sworn, sir.
All right.
Good evening. Tim Kreischer, Ventnor City, New Jersey.
All right. Kreischer, swear to tell the truth?
I do. Just a reminder to the board and the professionals. I may ask questions that have already been addressed, but would the board members please speak into the microphones, because sometimes it's difficult to hear. And also the professionals, when they're talking, to use a microphone. So I may be asking some questions that you already addressed, because I did hear some of it, so just tell me what the answer is. But I think it looks very nice. I think it's great. I have some comments. I think everybody's hope is that this will be a catalyst to improve the Dorset Avenue corridor, because it is certainly first class. I think we're hoping that that would happen with the project across the street at the old Frank's Luncheonette. That seems like it's stalled and nothing's been done since the building's been built. So hopefully this will be a catalyst to the Dorset Avenue corridor. I'm sure the board has already has dealt in the past with the difference between renderings and actualities, that I think this looks great, that this ought to be put into the record as an actual, minus a dog, that this is what it's going to look, this is what it's going to look like, in order that we do have that catalyst to the corridor. The Governor's Strip, I can't believe that the county would turn that down. I mean, that's aesthetics, that's more impervious ground coverage, you know, why they would turn it down. So I would encourage the board to put it in, and if the county turns it down, the Governor's Strip there.
We're agreeable with that. And as I said, if they turn it down, then the Fourth Street trees were agreeable also. So
okay.
The bicycle parking also.
Okay, so good. So I was going to mention about trees as well.
Yeah.
You talked about not having a timber retaining wall for the shrubbery in front of the townhouse or the homes. Maybe brick would look better and a little less sterile and a little bit more aesthetically pleasing. And I don't know what it does to the cost, but it may enhance to the corridor's look. My concern too, it's twofold, is, and this is where Mr. Planner, I don't know if you're addressing, is that the restaurant is losing considerable restaurant capacity with the elimination of the outdoor seating. So to get this project and get parking for the restaurant, they're losing their outdoor seating, which I think it's going to make it difficult for them to compete with people that have outdoor seating, especially since the board, unless something's changed, is going to take action next week to have two new restaurants in front of the professional campus building with restaurants with outdoor seating. That eliminating that outdoor seating is going to cut into their ability to make it. And then are we going to be back here a year or 2 years from now with another variance to build more residential?
Mayor.
So that's my concern.
We're letting them keep the outdoor dining that they have.
On the side, I'm talking about.
If they need that, they have that option.
Six of the eight spaces, right?
Six of the eight spaces.
All right, so that is at their option. They can forego the parking and put in outdoor seating.
They're trying to put outdoor seating in the front.
No, I'm talking about the side.
Understood, but they're replacing the side with the front.
We already have the front.
They don't already have
the front. They don't have the front? Then I don't know what I was sitting on a couple of weeks ago. Where is outdoor seating in the front?
It's not approved seating.
And it's not going to be as much either.
The intent is to keep what they have and maybe expand it.
So again, my thought, now I'm totally confused, is that they're losing the outdoor seating along the side of the building, which is going to cut into their capacity. I think you said 40 seats, which is considerable amount of their seating capacity and their gross revenue, and they're going to lose that. Now, can it be put in, leave it up to the restaurant? I mean, there's no very, I don't think there's a restaurant in the city outside out on the plaza, and maybe Nuppies, that has seating or has parking. That it be up to them if they want the parking or they want the seating. I don't know how that could be done in the resolution, but that's my concern. Then we're going to be back here in 18 months. You're going to be hearing another variance to allow the restaurant can't make it, and we're going to need to build another. And it's good for the city because there's another $1.2 million ratable or whatever it is. That's my concern.
That's a good point you brought up.
I'm sorry?
About them losing the outdoor seating, if they were my thoughts exactly, because there's a lot of seating on the side. To replace it with a few tables in the front, it's not the same. So will that affect their bottom line and the whole business?
Again, I want to be clear, it's not replacing. They already have seating in the front.
May I make a suggestion, Tim? Why don't we hear from the applicant, and then we'll discuss it with the applicant.
Okay.
That would be, your comment has been so noted, and it's better discussed.
And again, Roger can correct it if I'm wrong. Regardless of what the county says about the front, they're going to have eight parking spaces that under a new state law, they can submit a zoning application, plan to Roger. It's good for 6 months, which I would assume would be sufficient in a place like Ventnor. And six of those eight parking spots, they can still put outdoor seating in there.
And forego those six parking spaces.
They don't have to keep all eight.